aspect of the Lord's instruction to the church at Smyrna, and that was concerning fear. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, the Lord said to them, he said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." And of course, we know this instruction is not just for those believers in Smyrna, but applies to every member of the New Testament church. And see, the fact is that Jesus never promised you a rose garden. He never promised you a life of ease and comfort and safety. In fact, he said to those in Smyrna, "Thou shalt suffer tribulation, poverty, imprisonment, and even death." And so that's just the honest truth, and we would expect nothing less from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. But he said we are not to fear the things that we shall suffer when we start preaching the gospel. See, the preaching of the cross has always been offensive to men. It reveals to them the fact that it reveals to people that they are hell deserving sinners, and that God had to sacrifice his own son to remedy that situation. And it shows men that their religion is vain and their good works count for nothing when it comes to satisfying a holy God that you have sinned against. And so, just as Jesus was hated, he was mocked and finally crucified, well, those who will follow him today and who will preach the gospel, they ought to expect the same treatment from sinners who hate the truth about the cross and who don't want to hear about the one who died so that they could live. But why did Jesus tell us not to fear any of those things? Well, because if you do, that fear will cause you to stop preaching. You'll stop serving, you'll be paralyzed with that fear, and you'll become so useless that you'll live your whole life and not tell a single person about Calvary. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5:11 that if he would stop preaching about the cross, he said nobody would be offended with anything I said. And he said he wouldn't have to suffer any persecution if he just shut his mouth, but he didn't quit. And then I showed you in the Bible that the Lord didn't give you the spirit of reverse tonight, 2 Timothy 1:7. It is the flesh that is going to make you fear. No matter how long you've been a Christian, your flesh will still cause you to hesitate with fear whenever you try to speak up for Jesus Christ. But hey, if the Lord has given you his Holy Spirit, and he has, guess what? The Holy Spirit gives you power to witness for Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The key to being able to keep on going and to not let that fear get the best of you is to stay on fire for the Lord. Keep stirring up. Remember that? Stirring up the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't let it stagnate. Don't let it grow cold, because if you do, it becomes real difficult to get yourself going again. Well, tonight we're going to look at some more verses in the Bible that instruct the believer not to fear. And the first one we'll look at is in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Okay, in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us the spirit of fear. What did he give us? Every one of us who believes, what did he give us? God gave us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. For what? So you can preach the gospel. I'm not talking about standing in a pulpit in a church. If you've been saved, you've been born again, you have been called to preach. Don't sit around waiting for an invitation to a Bible school, and then you get a piece of paper and you say, "Well, now I got a degree. Now I can preach." If you're saved, if you're born again, God gave you the Holy Spirit so you could be his witnesses to preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. What are we waiting for? Hey, there's too many people sitting around waiting for a pulpit to open up. They ought to build themselves a pulpit and carry it downtown, carry it down to a park, carry it to the shopping center. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know some of you that rubs your Baptist tradition the wrong way, but listen, we're not going to win this world. Listen, we're not going to win this world if the only people out there preaching the word of God are seminary graduates. It's going to take every one of us. It's going to take the school teacher in the school and the carpenter on the construction site and the plumber under the sink and the housewife around the coffee table with her neighbors. It's going to take every one of us telling everyone we can about Jesus Christ. It's the only way it can happen. All right, you should be there by now. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what Paul said? He said, I'm out there trying to go it alone, preaching Jesus, and people see me handcuffed, see me get put in the jailhouse and beaten and thrown into that dungeon, and they got on their knees before God and in prayer, and they got to looking at that situation, and they said, well, if that fella can go through all of that for Jesus Christ, why am I sitting here watching TV? How come I'm sitting around playing cards? How come I'm not doing something for Jesus Christ? If that man can go to jail for the Lord, the least I can do is hand out some gospel tracts at the laundry. And Paul said, the affliction that I suffered stirred up and motivated other Christians to get going for Jesus Christ. So it's a good thing. They said, if Paul can take that kind of heat for Jesus Christ, I can stick my neck out and take a little bit of heat for Jesus Christ too. Why don't I do something for the Lord? And that's what it's all about. We can encourage others by just doing what we're supposed to do. All right, next one's in Luke chapter 12. Looking at some things we're not to be afraid of. Luke chapter 12, verse number 22. Luke 12, 22. Now, we looked at this, I think, just a couple of Fridays ago, so we'll just look at it briefly here. Luke 12, 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feedeth them, how much more are ye better than the fowls? Okay, so that kind of puts away all this new age, worship the beasts and the birds and all that stuff, doesn't it? Jesus said, we're better than they are. And if they don't like it, they'll just have to evolve, I guess, catch up. Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm worried if I stand up for Jesus Christ, I might lose my job, and then I won't have any groceries. The Lord said, well, I've promised you that you're going to sit at my table and feast with me through all eternity. I'm afraid if I stand up for the Lord, I'll lose my reputation, and I won't be able to advance in the company, and I won't be able to buy the finer clothes. Well, I read in my Bible about the Lord giving us white raiment to wear, and a gold street to walk on, and a mansion to live in up in glory. All the blessings and promises of God's eternal kingdom belong to us if we're saved and we're born again. We're afraid of what we might lose materially if we stand up for Jesus Christ. You can't measure or imagine the material wealth that God has laid up in heaven for them that love him. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid over the loss of material things. No need to be afraid, because it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. You ought to be able to read the newspaper and laugh about it. You ought to be able to look at the headlines and not be the least bit afraid. You say, but all the world events, they're so terrible. And the world conditions, they're so dreadful. People have lost their minds, man. You say, I just fear what's going to happen tomorrow. Really? There's no reason for that. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse number 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. So, we live in this latter day, and we say, have you seen that computer chip system that they set up? Aren't you afraid? Fear not. Fear not. The King is coming on a white horse. Have you seen that Mark of the Beast universal product code? And man, if you don't have that thing put into the palm of your hand, you can't buy or sell or get gain. Fear not. My King is coming to meet me in the air. Have you seen all this stuff that's setting up? All this United Nations, they're selling out national sovereignty, and they got UN helmeted troops showing up here and there all over the place. Man, aren't you worried about all that stuff? Fear not. Fear not. The same Jesus which went up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. Hey, listen. The Lord said you don't need to be afraid of what's happening on the earth. You're leaving this earth. You don't need to be afraid of what's going on in the world. I've saved you out of the world. You don't need to be afraid of what's going on in the United Nations. You're a holy nation with a citizenship in heaven. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And guess what? Every sovereign king always recalls his ambassadors before that war begins. I'm going home before the fighting breaks out. I will be evacuated before the bombs fall on the embassy. Hallelujah. All right. Go to the Old Testament. Look in your Bible in Ezekiel chapter number 2. Yeah, I shouldn't be afraid for material things. I shouldn't be afraid from current world events. You say, yeah, but You know, we've got gangs now, and we've got carjackers, and we've got murderers running the streets, and we've got criminals of all shapes and sizes out there. And man, this world is just a terrifying place to live. Well, I'll grant you that. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's Bible. Look in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse number 1. Ezekiel 2, 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Sound familiar? That's no different than where you work. That's no different than where you buy your groceries. That's no different than what you see in your neighborhood. Verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. That sounds like any public school campus in America. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. So he says, I want you to go out there, tell them what I said. Don't give them your opinion. Don't read to them out of a commentary. Don't add your slant to it. Just tell them what I said. Verse number 5. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, they don't want to hear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. He said, they're going to look at you hard. Don't be afraid. They're going to look at you mean. Don't be afraid. They're going to laugh you to scorn. Don't be afraid. They're going to cut you like a knife. They're going to wound you like a briar patch. They're going to sting you like a scorpion. But you go out there and give them my words. He didn't say go out and make converts. He didn't say go out and get a following. He didn't say go out and get some decisions. He didn't say go out and win 25 souls at the checkout line at the restaurant. He said, go, give them my words. If they hear, well, hallelujah. If they don't, that's their problem. But don't you be afraid to open your mouth and tell them what I said. That's the Lord's command. Amen. Look at verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. You know what the Lord said? I sit at home and I say, I'm not going to go out and witness to anybody tonight because anyway, those are bad people out there. They're sinners. They don't love God. They disobey God's word. And I'm scared of them. I'm not going to go speak up. And the Lord says, I told you to go witness, and you're not witnessing. So how does that make you any different than them? They're rebellious. You're rebellious. They're disobedient. You're disobedient. They're not obeying my word. You're not obeying my word. Now see, it's things like that you just kind of wish were not in the Bible. But there they are. And I cannot say to God, I won't go to those people because they're bad people without becoming a bad people myself. You understand? All right, let's move on. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 2. And then we'll go to Matthew chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 2. It's one to pray about, isn't it? And Matthew 7. I guess what most people fear is death. Well, look what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, okay, that's the Lord Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. All right. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? He did. Did he rise from the dead? Yes, he did. Then if this verse is true, he destroyed Satan's power to kill. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know why men can't really enjoy life? They're afraid that that life is going to end. You know why men can't live for Jesus with a reckless abandon? Just go all out, do it. They're afraid they're going to die. I can't die. I got eternal life. I will lay aside this mobile home. They'll fold up my tent. They'll put it away in that big hole in the ground. But I have eternal life. Think about something. People say, how did that little host of Israelites, how did they go in there and whip all those Canaanites and take all that land? Because there was a man leading those troops into battle, and maybe he had a shield. I don't see where it says he did, but he may have had a shield in one hand, but we know he had a sword in the other. And God Almighty told Joshua, there shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. How would you like to meet in hand-to-hand combat a man with a promise from God that nobody could kill him? You wouldn't want to face that guy. You know what the Lord said to us? Put on the whole armor of God. Take to yourself the sword of the Spirit. Stand, and having done all to stand. And P.S., I've given you eternal life. You shall never perish. Now, if we really believe that, we would never back down before the threats of this world. The world would be backing down because of our unlimited courage and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the truth, and you know it. You read all that military history, and wherever you find in those stories, those historical writings, wherever you find an inferior, outmanned, out-trained, out-provisioned force defeating a better-trained, better-equipped, better-prepared force, there's always somebody at the head of that company that is not afraid of death. That's how that works. And that courage is infectious. And it spreads through those troops, and it causes the retreat and the defeat of the enemy. It's not because of the weapons. It's because of the courage. And the Lord said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it is in that spirit we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay, now Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. and verse number 28. Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body. The Bible's not hard to understand, is it? That's easy right there. Fear not them which kill the body. That's anybody living on the face of the earth. No reason to fear any of them. But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And there's only one person in all this universe that we are to be afraid of, and that's God. Nobody else. If a person cannot destroy your soul in hell, you're not to be afraid of them. That means if a guy flies over your house every night with an atom bomb strapped to the bottom of his Cessna airplane, you don't have to worry about it. That means if they're putting AIDS in the blood supply and a foreign enemy is sending clouds of poison germs into your country and all that kind of stuff, so... You know, what's that going to do? Send you to heaven? Okay. I'm going to heaven, right? When I die, I'm going to heaven. I got to die to get there, in fact. Now, I'd like the rapture to take place. That's, I guess there is option B. But if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime, I got to die to get there. I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. Nothing better than being with the Lord in glory. Oh, but don't kill me. You know why? Why we're like that? We're still earthbound. We set our affection on things below instead of setting our affection on things above. Our heart is in the earth. Our money is in the earth. Our talents are in the earth. Our affections are in the earth. And so we're clinging desperately to the earth. That is the flesh. If you go into a coma and you lose your mind, the flesh will fight to stay alive for years. The flesh doesn't want to die. But one of these days, we're going to lay this old body aside and we'll find out it wasn't death after all. It was deliverance. It was deliverance. We'll find out it wasn't the end at all. It was the beginning. We'll find out it wasn't grief at all. It was glory. The glorious liberty of the sons of God. So the Lord said, don't fear death. All right. And then look what he says, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, when a writer finishes a book and he brings it to the printer says, how many pages? He says, 100 pages. That's a page count. Okay. But the writer doesn't let the printer just throw those pages together at random. He makes sure that he knows this is page one, this is page two, this is page three, and the pages are numbered. So think about this. God is so concerned about us, he doesn't just know the number of hairs on our head. He knows the number of each hair on our head. He didn't say your hairs are counted. He said your hairs are numbered. God is so concerned that when you brushed your hair this morning, he said, well, there went hair number 67. There went number 184. There went number, listen, you say what you want, but that's what the Bible says. Now, either that's the first lie Jesus ever told, or God really is more concerned about your well-being than you realize. And if you go to jail today, God cared. And if you get cussed out today, God is interested. And if somebody kills you today, it didn't happen without your father being present. So don't be afraid. Don't fear. First John chapter 4. And we'll finish up with this. First John chapter 4 and verse number 16. I don't know about you, but I need this kind of preaching myself. My flesh needs this. I don't know what your background is, but I'll tell you this much. Every one of us that's been born of God, we can trace our lineage right to Jesus Christ. And there ought to be something about the old hymns of Zion. There ought to be something about the sweet sound of the Word of God that just gets in our soul and moves us with a desire and a determination to take on all the hordes of hell of this world, the flesh and the devil. Even if there's nobody else with us, let's go get them. But I'll tell you, we need to hear that song. We need to hear that music. We need to hear that preaching just to keep us going, or we'll quit. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Do you believe that? Do you know that God loves you? Do you believe that He loves you? All right. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Where? In God. In God, our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now you say, Brother Bob, I believe all that stuff you said tonight. I'm not arguing with any of those verses in the Bible. But I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid to witness. I'm afraid to stand up for the Lord. I'm afraid of what will happen if I identify myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you. I can make all kinds of excuses, but I'm a little bit afraid about what people would say. How people would think, how people might treat me. Okay, well, there's no solution to be found in trying to pump yourself up or trying to talk yourself into it. And somebody shaming you out of being afraid, that's no cure for that either. The only way to overcome that fear is to be fully convinced and ever mindful that the one person in this universe that matters the most loves me with all his heart at all times. And being confident in God's love will drive out that fear. Listen, in any normal family, if the kids want something, anytime, day or night, no matter how unreasonable it might sound, they go to mom, they go to dad, they ask them for it. Okay? They're not afraid to go to bed at night. They're not worried about having supper on the table in the evening. They're not worried, they're not wondering if they're going to have books for school. They're not worried about having clothes to wear. None of that stuff ever enters into their mind. They are so certain that their daddy and their mother loves them, they're not worried about a thing in this world. And it ought to be that way. And you know something? If we were certain that the Bible's true, when that Bible says that God commendeth his love toward us, if we were certain the Bible meant what it said when it tells us of God's unfailing love toward those that are washed in the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we would never fear. We would never fear. We would trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We would not lean to our own understanding. Our minds would be kept in perfect peace because they were stayed upon Him. And God's perfect love for us would cast out all fear. And that's the only cure for it. You can walk up and down that sidewalk all afternoon and say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. You're going to be afraid. You can memorize 12 verses that tell you you shouldn't fear, and memorize 5 more verses to make yourself feel guilty because you are afraid. But that's not going to do the job. You're going to have to get yourself right up next to the heart of God and lay your head on His bosom and hear His heartbeat and know of a certainty that that heart is beating for you. And that perfect love will cast out all fear. He didn't say to the church at Smyrna, you won't have trouble. But He said to the church at Smyrna, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And then you know what He told them? I think it's kind of neat. When He addressed that church, He didn't say, like He did to the other churches, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He didn't say, I'm the bright and morning star. You know what He said to this church? He addressed them and He said, I am He that was dead and is alive. Okay, I've been dead. I'm telling you, it's nothing to worry about. I've been in the grave. I'm telling you, no big deal. I went to hell. I took the keys and locked the door behind me so they can't put you in there. Just trust me. There's nothing to be afraid of. I hope and pray that when it's my time to leave this world, I will have left behind a testimony that says, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, my King. There's nothing anybody could do to me that would make me back down. I'll testify to His goodness to my dying day. I hope that'll be my testimony. God give us the courage to stand up for the one that died in our place. God help us. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You once again for this encouragement. Thank You, Lord, for showing us the things that tend to try to make us fear, opening our mouth and witnessing and testifying for You, but showing us, Lord, that we have no reason to fear those things or fear anybody in this world, that You're the only one that deserves our fear and our obedience. And we pray, Lord, You'll help us to not let our flesh rule us and back us, cause us to back down and quit and not be of any use to You. We want to do what You want us to do, Lord. You gave us our mouth. You gave us our tongue. You gave us our knowledge. You gave us a holy Bible. You told us what You want us to do. Help us to be faithful to do that, keeping in mind that fear is going to try to stop us, but we need to do it anyway. Help us to remember all Your promises, and most especially to remember that You love us and You're with us wherever we're out there speaking up for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.